Blog Talk Radio.
Would you like to learn something new and exciting? Have you always had an interest in a subject but didn't want to spend a fortune going back to school? The Chicago Learning Center is the place for you. Learn about real estate, the stock market. Learn to be a voiceover artist. If you like to dance, there are classes on salsa and merengue. Interested in preparing a meal for your family? If so, CLC has cooking and baking classes. Want to know the ins and outs of being a handyman? Yep. CLC has that, too, and much more. The Chicago Learning Center. Take a class. Relax. Treat yourself. No grades. No tests. Just fun. The Chicago Learning Center. 773-891-1999. That's the Chicago Learning Center. Call today. 773-891-1999.
Back from the Grammys, the NAACP Image Awards, the Oscars, and Fashion Week, Lady Ease is here to shape your curves and comfort. The My New Shapewear Collection is designed especially for women of color. Embrace your curves and look shapely and smooth in everything that you wear, from capris to work attire to that red carpet gown. Visit MyNudes.com to choose your style and your color. You'll find My New Shapewear in Honolulu, Los Angeles, New York, and online at MyNudes.com. Brown beauties, your best shape is yet to come at MyNudes.com.
Hello, this is Diana. Diana Long here on a Wednesday. We're going to talk about art and social justice issues. Today, we've got artist, graphic artist, photographer in the Chicago metro area, C Street. C, are you there?
Hi, Diana. Yes, I'm here.
Hello. Yes, we're talking with C Street today. C, I know you a little bit, but our listeners probably are not familiar with you, maybe most of them. So tell me a little bit about where you're from, where you studied your art, and what your family is like.
Oh, okay, no problem. Yeah, I am actually local, so I'm from the Chicagoland area, and I went to Columbia College Chicago, and I actually didn't go for art. I've just always been an artist on my own and self-taught. I am the youngest from a really large family of creative people, and that's kind of where I started drawing on pillowcases and writing poetry on the walls. Some my mother wasn't too pleased with, but it's something that has stuck with me in my adulthood. So that's what I do. And I'm also a sole proprietor here in the Chicagoland area, helping small businesses and grassroots organizations, mainly with their marketing and creative help.
Oh, yeah. Tell me a little bit about that. You recently started something online, didn't you?
Yeah, I did, actually. You know, one of the most recent projects that I was pretty honored to work with, and I know that you're familiar with it personally because we spoke about it, was the Pet for Life program that helped out with that campaign and fundraising initiative. So I was able to contribute some digital work there. And I'm also part of the leadership team of a new social platform called Chatterhorn, and that empowers people from all walks of life, from the organizational structure to small businesses and just people with goals and dreams and aspirations of getting the word out about their work to create their own social platform. So, again, that's chatterhorn.com, and it's both for people to take advantage of it and kind of control their own content.
Okay. How do you spell that?
Chatterhorn is chatterhorn.com. So chatterhorn.com, again, is the website that anyone can go to start their own social platform where they can control their content, their message, and the visuals.
And
so it's kind of like a Facebook for the people.
Oh, okay, because I was going to say, like, who exactly did you put it together for? Like, who would benefit the most from it?
You know what? I think that all size structures, as far as businesses and organizations, can benefit, but it's also great for the small person that may need another avenue to kind of build their platform up. I mean, you know, with Facebook and other more popular social media channels, people kind of are drawn to the big name companies or the big name organizations. So this is a great platform for the smaller fish to kind of get out there and get some visibility and kind of get some traction on the issues and the work that's important to them. But it certainly is, you know, all welcoming, but I would definitely encourage the small businesses and organizations to take advantage of it and kind of claim as much social territory as they can early.
Okay, and so it's for individuals also?
Yeah, yep, absolutely. Okay. All-inclusive platform, individuals, again, you know, grassroots or global organizations, basically anyone that wants to amplify their voice on social media could take advantage of Chatterhorn and start building their community.
Okay, well, great. Well, I'm always interested in what social justice issues are of interest to people who come on the air. And so what issues are at the forefront for you right now?
Well, most certainly on a personal level for me, I mean, I think that the current climate with police and the justice system overall, you know, the lack of accountability and the need for reform is something that can't be ignored. I mean, you know, being a black woman, being an artist, being any woman really, or any artist or any person, just to have the humane perspective of being able to recognize that change is certainly needed there and overdue. I think that that's one of the most to address today, I mean, in our social climate.
And on what level or what kinds of ways do you think that people will be able to find solutions for these issues regarding police accountability?
That's a great question. I mean, you know, I think that the first set of solutions have to be focused on from an internal perspective, meaning that, you know, there has to be an increase of the training on diversity issues, on the training of poverty issues, on the training of, you know, educational issues. All of that has to happen in the police department and in the justice system. It can't be, oh, you go through a maze, or, oh, you go through a little shooting exercises, or, oh, you may deal with this kind of person or that kind of person. I don't really think that that's the depth of the training that needs to happen. It really needs to be diversity courses that are put together in a curriculum that's put together by activists, by people from the communities at which they're going to be performing and serving, so that they can really have a firm grasp on the challenges of those communities and the, you know, the difference in cultures and the difference in diversity and how that enriches the overall police and justice system, not as a tool of it's them against us or it's us against them, but as a means to educate the police and the justice system so that accountability and reform will kind of be a natural step forward.
There's a whole lot of people who have signed a petition to develop a civilian board that would oversee some accountability issues that have to do with the police department. Mm-hmm. What's your opinion about that?
Well, again, you know, I actually think that it's important to have, you know, civilian input, you know, the community's input, activist input, you know, that's where the richest form of information will be able to come and be extracted from, right? These are the communities that have constantly seen, you know, children and other members of the community kind of swallowed up by the epidemic that's happening with the police departments across the nation, with the justice system across the nation. So for those individuals to be given a seat at the table to actually voice those concerns, address those issues, and push for the reform and hold people accountable that's wearing the police uniforms or even the judicial robes, for that matter, is important. And I think that that would be a great step to take forward.
Yeah, and then there has been for a while now various organizations that are trying to introduce the concept of restorative justice, and it's becoming more popular. Have you heard about this?
You know, I have, and I think that, you know, I agree that everything is kind of becoming more popular and more trendy, and I'm not sure if that's just because of the role that, you know, social media plays in exposing injustice, you know, or even exposing justice for that matter, and people having access to information a lot faster. You know, I know that there have been a couple of grassroots organizations and activists that have for a while now, even before it became popular, clearly have been pushing to change the narrative, have been pushing to be a part of the conversation in general, and to help kind of see those changes being facilitated. Where it would go from this point forward, I think is still kind of up in the air, but it's still very relevant and very important to have a conversation and to keep taking steps forward in order to see that conversation really turn into something progressive and something tangible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of different ideas are being tossed around. A fairly new mm-hmm. organization that's very grassroots and a lot of young people are involved in, called Let Us Breathe. One of their mm-hmm. ideas is that they want to see the demolition of the police department, to not have a police force.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that brings up, well, lots of things, but seems like a big thing to mm-hmm. to deal with, and certainly have a lot of questions, like how would you go about that? Have mm-hmm. you thought about this, or what do you think about that?
Well, you know, I am actually not that familiar with Let Us Breathe or the movement that they're trying to put together, but this is my stance on it. You know, I think that it clearly is important to have police, right? They play an important role. You know, this is not asking for police accountability and the justice system accountability and reform for both those entities is not saying that everything that police do is wrong, or it's not saying that every time the justice system is involved with the case, they're wrong, right? We know clearly that the police and the justice system have done some things right. I think the main issue, however, is to say, how can we go a step beyond so that the things that have become epidemics, particularly in black and brown communities, are addressed and are done right moving forward, without it being this veil of the police union or, you know, mayors or, you know, police departments or whoever, justice systems just in general, not being transparent with the information and not being, frankly, just honest with what needs to happen moving forward to correct wrongs and to try to make them right. You know, if Let Us Breathe is saying, oh, completely dismantle the police, give the power to the people, I think that that is, you know, definitely an aggressive mission to uphold, but I don't know whether or not it would be something that could necessarily be implemented on the level that it would need to be implemented so people still feel safe, that, you know, crime is still being dealt with, the due process is still being carried out accurately and honestly. You know, so I'm not sure if that is the answer, but at this point, we do know that we have to come up with an answer, and we do have to come up with some solutions. So I think that their solution is just one of many that could be addressed when the dialogue continues, you know. But definitely police are important. The system is important. But getting it right is equally important, if not more important than that. So finding a way to clean up those entities, I think, would be the first step in clean up by putting people in place that can be a part of internal affairs, that's from the community, that can be a part of the process for making sure that it's gotten right.
Yeah, definitely. And speaking of such things, speaking of, you know, how to go about things or trying to come up with solutions, we need to come up with a commercial break. And so after the commercial break, I'm going to talk a little bit about and ask you some questions how art can come into the equation. But right now, we're going to take a break for a commercial, and we'll be right back. Thank you.
Chicago's Black Business Radio Network, all black, all news, all you.
Listen to Tracy E. Lewis on Fridays at 10 a.m. Central Standard Time for the inside story on real estate investment. Coming up on Wednesdays at 3 p.m. is Diana Long with Art and Social Justice Issues. On Tuesdays at 9 a.m., listen to Akeem Ugal with news for the passive real estate investor. Listen to CBBM Business Journals Monday through Friday at 11 a.m. and listen to The Tough Questions noon with host Sonia Cassandra Perdue. Visit us at Chicago's, that's Chicago with an S, Chicago's Black Business Radio Network.com. To be a sponsor, give us a call at 773-609-2226. To sponsor an upcoming episode, call us at 773-609-2226. Thank you.
Chicago's Black Business Radio Network, all black, all news, all you.
Let me tell you about the Peace Parks of North London project. We are creating a peace park from a vacant lot, one part of the park at a time, one weekend at a time. We are volunteers wanting to make a difference. The park will be for the people of Chicago, especially the residents of North London. Would you like to help? Please RSVP for the date and time. You can help by leaving a message on 773-542-9126 or send email to contact@urbanartretreat.com. We work each Saturday and Sunday from noon to 4. Please join us weekends from noon to 4.
We're back from commercial. This is Diana Long talking about art and social justice issues. Today I've got with me C Street, local creative person in the Chicago metro area. C, so I wondered if we could talk a bit about how conscious art stays at the forefront of social change. What do we mean by that?
Absolutely. You know, I definitely believe that conscious art stays and really helps to kind of guide social change in a lot of ways. I mean, if we can go back to the Memphis sanitation workers' strike, for example, in 68, you know, they were carrying out iconic signs that read, "I am a man." You can go a little further to issues now, you know, Michael, let me just make sure I'm getting his name right, Michael Don Tuano, The Tale of Two Hoodies, right? That image about the little boy holding the fruit candy and the police pointing a gun at him. Of course, that depicted Trayvon Martin. We have the Hands Up, Don't Shoot graphic. We have the Say Her Name hashtag. All of these things are art interpretations and expressions that directly look social change and face social justice issues head on. You know, and I think that it's important to continuously do that moving forward. I think it's important to have art represented from not only generations before us, but generations now, and getting involved in that process and not being afraid to use art as a medium for social justice to amplify the conversation and, you know, constantly push it forward.
Good point. Yeah, I couldn't help but think while you were talking how sometimes these icons, the sayings, the things that sharply catch our attention sometimes get changed over time or co-opted by different movements or whatever. I was thinking in particular about how Black Lives Matter are really so poignant and such a good point and so well put. People couldn't help themselves but take that and change it to various things like All Lives Matters. I even saw a commercial the other day with Something Else Matters, like Popcorn Matters or something like that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, well, I guess that's capitalism for you, people trying to make a buck off thing, you know.
Absolutely.
But, so that was, that was very, that I say was, but is a very powerful statement that turned into a movement. You know, started out as something on a card and ended up, really being a whole movement.
Absolutely.
Because it was powerful. Yeah.
Absolutely. Do you think people get that? I mean, if I could ask just, do you think people understand the weight behind Black Lives Matter and why that became a very important and is a very important movement and hashtag and just overall form of social expressionism?
Well,
is it something that
some,
you think is understood,
people,
or do you think people kind of just say,
some people,
oh, it's
of course,
complaint.
Get it, and unfortunately, some people are clueless. They just don't get it. They're the same people that don't get a lot of things.
Well,
I wasn't surprised to see that some people didn't get it because some people never get anything. You know, I think sometimes I feel like the people that don't get it are the same ones that say things like, some of my best friends are. You know, they're the same people that say things like that. They just don't get it.
Yeah.
It doesn't.
Yeah, absolutely.
It doesn't compete
That's a good
for them.
One.
You know, they just. They're not on the same planet, you know, you just, So, to me it makes a great deal of sense, and I think it belongs where it is, and it's extremely powerful and very well put. And but unfortunately, there's always going to be people who just don't see the picture. They just don't understand.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, no matter what you say, they're just shy a few cards in the deck. You know, they just never fully get something. And they do strike me as the same kind of person who says that. Yeah, because you know, you always hear that people say, "Some of my best friends."
Oh yeah, absolutely. I got a couple of black friends that live over here, and they're nice people.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, I work with a black woman, and she's pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, yeah. Oh, I'm okay, da-da-da-da-da. You know, that, so we have to kind of just, you know, take a deep breath and say, well, some people are just never going to get it, you know. And occasionally you can talk with some people, and after a while they do get it. But some, just no matter, no amount of talking, they don't see it. They don't get it, you know. So, but moving on, one of my favorite things to talk about is, underrepresented artists and underrepresented art. So, you know, you had also mentioned the significance of black art being represented and also the lack of black art or expression being offered in various outlets from retail to the creative space in general. Would you like
absolutely.
To expand on that?
Oh, yeah, you know, definitely. I mean, you know, when you think about, you know, the black narrative that can be that's presented through art and other means of creativity, you know, and we can just think about how it has always played a role and been essential to the fabric of not only, quote-unquote, black culture, but all cultures, you know. Yet it continues to be underrepresented and overlooked, you know, and the fact has shown us and history has shown us over time that it's not about the lack of talent, but, you know, it's the lack of acknowledgement of talent and representation on the bigger stage, and, of course, the lack of opportunity for being able to highlight that talent and give people from diverse backgrounds the opportunity to really step out on a bigger stage. You know, and another thing regarding that is that, you know, I know that there has been some growth, right? We've seen growth, and those are things that we clearly can't ignore, but at the same time, you know, we can't resign to being comfortable with only the absolute minimum of growth or only crumbs off the table when, you know, you're talking about artistic
right.
contributions that's extremely vast and extremely layered. So saying, oh, you know, one little showing here, you know, in a group show is okay, or one little small, you know, showing they're probably doing, you know, over there is okay. Those showings are extremely important and extremely vital, but it's equally vital to get those opportunities at, you know, the big museums or the big galleries where we are grotesquely underrepresented, you know. So
right.
I think that that is important to make that the objective to, you know, not only just be addressed, but to push for and share in the equitable opportunities that, you know, our white counterparts or other counterparts as far as artists are concerned have been able to take advantage of in abundance. You know, I don't
mm-hmm.
think that it's a, you know, it's a compromise to ask for equitable opportunities, you know, and I don't think it's a compromise to say, you know, there's so many talented artists out there that deserve those opportunities that's just not getting them, you know.
Right.
So
right.
That's definitely, you know, a big part of the conversation. And if I can just loop back around to your reference as far as, you know, not being, you know, black art and black expressionism not being offered in various outlets, you know, from retail to the creative space. You know, on a retail level, just about anywhere you go into that sells art, most places, you know, you could see the picture of Marilyn Monroe, right? This very beautiful, iconic figure. Right, you could see Audrey Hepburn. You could see, you know, a lot of different variations of what iconic beauty in the traditional sense in our society represents, right? But you can't go to hardly any outlet and see, you know, Dorothy Dandridge on a canvas like you would see Marilyn Monroe, or even
yeah.
on a T-shirt. You know, or even
yeah.
on bed linen or bed covers or whatever. You just don't see it, you know. So for me, that lack of creative visibility when it comes to black and brown people are particularly a sore spot. And it's not just for the obvious reasons of breaking the cycle of black and brown people not being celebrated or appreciated. That's the obvious, right, that we've kind of tried to fight and move forward about. But it's also because of the psychological condition of sorts that black and brown people possess nothing beautiful, nothing captivating, or nothing artistically intelligent to offer or to contribute. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, I think that from retail, that would be a major step forward to be able to say, hey, you know, Disney just now came around, you know, to creating a, you know, a black Disney princess, for example. And then, you know, Barbie came around and they did a beautiful rendition of the African-American director, Ava DuVernay. I'm probably mispronouncing her name, but Ava, I'll call her, the director of Selma. So there's some coming around of sorts, you know, and then we have Dora, of course, the little Latino,
well, I'm
going
to have to agree with
cartoon.
You. I'm going to have to agree with you.
Yeah.
I'm getting signal here that we're running out of time. I want to thank you so much for your time today, C Street. And
absolutely.
Hope that we get to talk again sometime soon.
Absolutely.
And thank
absolutely.
You so much, and have a wonderful wintry day.
Thank you.
That's
thanks
all
for
we have time
Diana.
For today on art and social justice issues. Thanks, everybody, for listening in. So long now.